Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Na, 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 na. Before we get to Eddie Olchek, our special guest on Breakfast with the Blackhawk, let's say hi to Dr. Kevin Most, who's downtown for a meeting this morning. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great.
Brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. All right, so we need to congratulate Edward, Mr. Olchek, Hall of Famer, best analyst in the business, Mr. Hockey. We saw him the other day here. He looked great. Yeah. And I don't like telling Eddie nice things. But he looked great.
He did.
It's not like Eddie's ever nice to me, right?
He's nice to you sometimes, and all the time.
He's usually busy groping you. But
he's nice to me.
He was telling us that at one point he was drinking 18 Diet Cokes a day. And he's lost, I don't know, what did he say, 40 pounds? Maybe more than that.
40 pounds, yeah. That's
wow.
Great.
And he stopped doing that. But you said, as a doctor, you used to pound Diet Cokes.
Yeah, I'll be honest. 2.5 years ago I quit, and I was drinking about 10 a day.
And it's just convenience?
Yeah, you don't even realize. When they're right there in the refrigerator next to you, you don't even realize that you had it until you count the empty cans at the end of the day.
I mean, I probably have 2 or 3 a day.
You used to drink more Diet Cokes.
I used to drink
you?
A lot. Yeah. But I never had more than 5 or 6. But I got to tell you, 2 or 3 a day feels like, you know, remember when you were a kid and you could drink root beer forever?
Yeah.
And now you drink a root beer and it feels like somebody pumped you full of air. It's like the older I get, the less I want, and I guess this is how the God keeps you alive for a while, the less I want the really terrible stuff because your body just seems like it starts to reject it.
Well, hopefully Eddie stopped drinking the Diet Cokes and switched to water or switched to
He's drinking
juices.
Nothing but water, he said.
Yeah.
Nothing but water.
Good for him.
So, and he joins us now, Eddie Olchek, at Eddie Olchek. Morning, Eddie. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
I know you'd rather say hi to Andrea first, so go ahead. She's sitting here.
Hi, Edzo.
I already said hi to Andrea this morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Edzo. Me too, baby.
Dr. Most.
Hey, Steve, before we go, who canceled today? That's what I want to know. Is this another one of those where I'm coming out of the bullpen, they're driving me in
the car?
Remember the bullpen carts that they used to drive the relief pitchers in, remember?
Sure, yeah. And now those cars are actually on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Eddie Olchek, Dr. Most is here, and he was just congratulating you off the air on your Diet Coke decision. He was doing 10 or 12 a day, and he's done with it. And he quit right around the same time you did. But I saw you the other day. I was telling people publicly just now. You look great, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't drink a lot of Diet Pop when I was playing, and I retired. Hard to believe I retired 16 years ago. But once I retired, I just got on the Diet Pepsi bandwagon, and I just, next thing you know, I was drinking, 18 to 24 a day, and I was dehydrated. I had a real bad problem with kidney stones, and I just said, I think almost 5 years ago now, I just said, that's it. I got to go cold turkey, and I had those caffeine headaches for about 10 days, and then I've just been drinking water ever since. And, I've had a ginger ale every once in a while, but no more pop for me, and it seemed to have done the trick for me. So we got to stay hydrated. With all the traveling that I do, that's really important. And, look, I mean, the doctors that I talk to, and Doc could probably speak to this better than anybody, is, the doctor that I had gone to, he said, look, if you're going to drink that much Diet Pop, okay, that's fine, but you better be drinking as much water in order to flush it all out and make sure that you're staying hydrated. And obviously I wasn't going to do that, so I just made the decision. And, will I ever go back? I don't want to say never, but I like where I am right now.
Yeah, and you're talking about breakfast bars, too. And, Doc, you could speak to this, Dr. Most. Breakfast bars, like anything else, anything allegedly healthy, is great in moderation. But you do too much of that, you still have problems, right?
Yeah, and you just have to look at the content and see what's in there, because there are so many people that make breakfast bars right now. And, Eddie, I understand you ate about a box of those along with your 24 Diet Cokes in a day.
Yeah, I don't know about a box, Doc, but of course Steve is probably exaggerating.
What?
But maybe, probably about 4 or 5 a day, a couple in the morning to hold me over to lunch, and then a couple in the afternoon. And for me, you know, I mean, 5 years ago, I just went cold turkey on the pop, and then just within the last, I guess we're going on almost 2 years now, I was just sitting there going, you know, the weight's not falling off. I don't feel like I look the same, and I just said, you know what am I doing, and, you know, what am I doing in, you know, way too much of, and I thought, well, geez, these are supposed to be healthy for you, and those oats and honey bars and whatever, and I just eliminated those, and next thing you know, I lost probably about 18 pounds in a matter of about 3 weeks. So for me, I'm sure everybody's different. Metabolism is different for everybody, but for me, it was probably just probably way too much in excess when it comes to the breakfast bars after stopping off the Diet Pepsi.
That's a good healthy tip for you kids listening. And
that's you young hockey players out there.
Yeah, and Doc, I know you got to run, but I appreciate the advice and the high five for Eddie being healthy, because we need
Thanks,
Eddie.
Thanks, Doc. Yep. Appreciate it, Doc.
You got it.
Hey, Edward, before we do anything else, we need to congratulate the Chicago Blackhawks, who, again, I know the Red Wings are young, and I know they're kind of in a mini rebuild mode mostly, but they certainly handled them in the two games they saw them in the last week and a half.
I would say handle more so in that game in Detroit than they did the other night, the other afternoon there, one of those great 4 o'clock starts, Steve, at the UC on Sunday. You know, for a long stretch of that game, the Red Wings had their way with the Hawks. Corey Crawford again made some really timely saves, and but allowed the Blackhawks to, you know, get their skates under them, and then, you know, they got off to a great start. Patrick Kane with that goal real early to start the game, and, you know, late in the game, they really took it to them. But, you know, I thought that game was pretty even, more so that game than the one in Detroit, I guess, some 6 days ago.
You know, there was a moment in the game, Dave and I were talking about this off the air, and, you know, Dave lives in a broadcast booth, and he knows the position that you and Doc Emrick find yourself in. And there was a moment where there was a Detroit defender who didn't need to be in the way of his young goalie who gives up a goal. And you snapped on that kid like a dry twig. And it was a good point to make, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your point was you don't show up your defender, get off the ice.
Yeah. It's happened. I've seen it probably more so now in our era. Or I should say in this era, probably the last 10 or 15 years than I saw in my era, because if that would ever happen, you'd probably have, you know, six or seven guys grabbing that goaltender at some point and, you know, and setting them straight. You know, I know he was upset that Danny DeKeyser, Peter Mrazek, the goalie for the Red Wings, and DeKeyser was standing right in front of him and screened him, and he wasn't able to make the save. But, you know, there's a time and a place, and, you know, Danny DeKeyser's probably saved more goals than given up more goals as a defender. And, you know, I just, one of those things that it's a teaching moment. Hopefully there's coaches out there or young hockey players out there that, you know, saw that play and go, hey, look, if that happens to me, how am I going to react? You know, it's always easy to point the finger, but, you know, sometimes maybe just a tap on the backside and say, look, I know you didn't try to screen me, but, you know, I mean, there's a way to do it. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it. And I think you can certainly react a lot of different ways in that situation. But I thought it was one of those moments that needed to be pointed out. And, you know, look, I make thousands of mistakes every day. When I played in the National Hockey League, I made a lot of mistakes. And you know, you're out there trying to make mistakes, that they're going to happen. And that's where you really need the support of your teammates. And it was one of those things that I thought needed to point out. And, you know, we'll see if it's addressed by the Red Wings or, you know, by their leadership there, that, you know, you let the young goaltender know, hey, look, you know, we don't do that here, and that's not going to be tolerated.
Eddie, good morning. Let me ask you
for
another teachable moment here. I get asked this question when I'm watching games, and people will say, okay, how can these guys who are the best in the world screw up and have too many men on the ice? I mean, how the logistics that go into that, what happens mechanically that leads to that penalty?
Yeah, well, first off, Dave, I mean, it's a great question, and I do get that question as well in my travels. Let me just say this, is that it's easy and it's wrong to blame the coach when there's too many men on the ice. Like the coaches at this level, the National Hockey League, the players know who up, they know who are up, they know who's in the hole. It's their responsibility to watch their guy that's coming on and off the ice. Now, with the league, and I think that the league needs to tighten up you know, watching the too many men on the ice call. But, I mean, on that one particular play the other day, I mean, Nicholas Jalmerson was frustrated. Mm-hmm. He didn't leave the ice. He, you know, he's making like Paul Bunyan, taking a stick and smashing it on the glass, and the puck came right by him, and the guy that had jumped on for him, it touched the puck, and it was too many men on the ice. So in that situation, you know, it was one of those odd ones that don't happen a whole heck of a lot. The ones that happen is when a guy gets a little bit too excited coming onto the ice when his line change, the man is not inside the, you know, inside the player's bench. And, you know, there's a lot going on there. And like I said, it's wrong to blame the coach. The more the responsibility is on the players of knowing when to jump on the ice and knowing where their, you know, where their line change is going to happen. And, you know, I think that the league has cracked down on a lot. If you watch video from my era, say, I mean, you used to see 7-8 guys on the ice all the time. Like, you would gain, a guy would be 25 feet from the bench. You would jump on the ice and try to gain that extra time, whether come back on a back check or jump into an offensive play. So the onus is on the player that is jumping onto the ice more so than anybody else. And then that player that's coming off, if that puck comes towards you, you got to make sure that you're not playing it regardless of the situation. Now, there may be a time where you have to play it because the other team is going back the other way and they got a 2-on-0 or something. Sometimes those things happen. But to me, it's more on the onus of the player that's jumping on the ice than the coach or the player coming off.
Okay.
All right, Edzo, I have to ask you. I forgot to tell you the other day, my cousin's son, who is also my cousin, is starting to play league hockey now, and he's loving it, and they practice a lot. It's very intense. He's worried about overexertion. His wife is worried about the smell of the clothes in the car. But he's worried about overexertion because he's a little guy. He loves it, and he's fast, but, you know, obviously drinking a lot of water. How does he not get, I guess, overtired or overexerted?
Wait, the kid's worried about it or dad's worried about it?
Oh, dad's worried about it. Cole would play every day if he could.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, no, you know what, Andre, first off, that's the new Edzo cologne that's going to be out at your local Macy's and Target.
I'm buying.
You know, just grab a young hockey player's hockey glove and just stick your schnoz in there and then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But you know, I think for any young person, boy or girl, to get out there and to exercise is a positive, great thing. And there's nothing like conditioning for the game of hockey, Andrea, than actually the act of skating and playing. Like, it's amazing that you could sit there and you can train all you want. You can ride the bike. You can do the off-ice exercises. You can get on the treadmill. You can run. But once you get on the ice, you could sit there and then, you know, you can go, wow, did I even do anything to train? The act of skating is something that you need to do. So I don't think that you should be, as long as the young person has a clean bill of health and everything is A-okay, I don't think that the parents should be worried at all about the young hockey player going out there and working hard and skating and and learning about teamwork and all those great things. So unless there's some kind of a medical issue, I think it's like anything else, going off for recess or playing soccer or baseball, basketball, football, whatever it is, I think it's a good thing for the young people to go out there and sweat a little bit and exercise.
Speaking of the young people, Eddie became even more internationally famous in the last 24 to 36 hours for doing analysis of a kid at the game eating ice cream. Now, let's give people that might be new listeners and new guys to Blackhawks hockey a little backstory here, because nothing excites you and Foley more than seeing somebody eating ice cream. Why is that?
Oh, well, you know, I know I am down a few LBs in the last couple of years, but I always got a soft spot for some soft serve ice cream. So anytime we get an opportunity, and Doc Emmerich included, anything like a nice big large swirl in between periods kind of tides us over for the rest of the game. So I'm a big soft serve ice cream fan, and that's kind of the inside joke there.
And we're going to play the clip for you in a second, but did the kid get a hold of you at all to say, hey, thanks, because I'm a star
now? You know what? No, I actually asked our our great producer, Mike Leary, on Comcast Sportsnet to see if we could pull out on the camera and see what section the young man was in, because I wanted to go down there and introduce myself to him and maybe share a soft serve ice cream with him, or maybe he can give me a couple of teaching points on how to go ahead and attack a soft serve ice cream.
It was well done.
At a Blackhawk game, and yeah, I mean, he was not hesitating at all, and that's a kid after my own heart. So, but we couldn't see the section there, but I'm hoping at some point here somebody can maybe put me in contact with that young man, and hopefully a lot of his friends and family were able to see that. And that's what I love. I love when we can incorporate the great hockey fans that we have in this city. I mean, it's an opportunity to show them on TV and then even in a setting like that. So I know in some sports settings in our town, they like to show people eating nachos. Well, my request is that we can show as many great hockey fans and Blackhawks fans having a little bit of soft serve ice cream at the United Center.
It's a dream. It's a dream. And by the way, I was just handed a note when you were explaining your answer there that kid just got a reality show. So that's how... That's how fast the world changes. Edzo discovered and made him famous. Part of the MB Financial Breakfast with the Blackhawk is we get a listener to ask a question, and this comes from Gina Youngren. It says, Eddie, the Blackhawks have a lot of new players. How does it feel the first time you face old teammates?
Well, I can speak from experience, Gia. I got traded many a times in my mind, probably too many times, but it doesn't take really that long to be welcomed in by your teammates and a great training staff, and the coaching staff in the city. So I think from that point of view, that's really, that's probably the easiest transition. The toughest part is if you got family, you got kids, whether they're in school or, you're going to be away for them for a period of time. And then learning the lingo and verbiage that goes on for systems and stuff. So usually that takes probably, a good 5 to 7 games, I think, once you know exactly where you're supposed to be. And there's always going to be the nerves and, you get traded, you're disappointed because you got to move away from your family and you get traded. But, after a while, most of these guys have been, I think all the guys the Blackhawks actually acquired had been traded at least once or twice before. So, they've been through the ringer. I think it's always the toughest that first time around.
The Blues and Dallas on the road this week.
Yeah,
big week for the Hawks.
Tough trip, Steve. Yeah, tough trip.
Yeah, big week for the Hawks. And your friend and ours, Doc Emmerich, was on yesterday, and one of the coolest things he said, because somebody brought up working with Eddie and how great it must be because you guys seem like friends, and Doc went out of his way to say you are one of his great friends in life, and he appreciates it. So, to have a guy like Doc Emmerich call you a friend, that's a pretty good position to be in.
Well, I'm a lucky guy. I get to work with two incredible people and two incredible broadcasters and two incredible friends each and every night that I do hockey games, and obviously the great Pat Foley and Doc Emmerich. And I think there's a trust factor there when you're sitting next to your partner, and I think there's great trust that hopefully people enjoy the broadcast. Hopefully people, learn something while they're watching, and we appreciate them when they, when they turn us on and then they're watching the games. And, I have a great relationship with both guys, and it's an intimidating chair to sit in. Let me just say that. I mean, to sit in that chair next to the voice of hockey here in the city of Chicago, and of course Doc Emmerich, the voice of hockey throughout the National Hockey League, is it's an intimidating chair. You got to be on your toes each and every night, and I'm a lucky guy, and I'm very honored and humbled to be their partners. And like I said, it's more than just being a partner. It's it is a great relationship and a friendship that will last forever. And we enjoy each other's company. We have a lot of things in common. And don't kid yourself too. Doc's a big fan of Cold Stone Creamery too as well, so he's not afraid to jump in for the strawberry blonde every once in a while, and you got to have it every once in a while.
Speaking of that, say goodbye to Andrea.
Bye, Edzo.
Okay, Andrea, you have a wonderful day. And Steve, be a little nicer to that young lady, all right?
Thank you, Edzo.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks.
Love you. See you, David. Thanks.
See you,
Eddie.
There you go.
And he didn't miss a trick. And Gina gets a Chicago Blackhawks autographed puck from MB Financial Bank. Let me see if I can get this on the air. This is Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk calling the ice cream game.
Look at him. He's going at it. That's right. How many licks to the center of the soft serve ice cream?
Look at that. All right. Breathe. I'm like Ted Cruz right now. But anyways, welcome back inside the United Center.
That's it. Look at him. It's all over your internets, and we'll post it on Twitter. We might even put it up on the Hulu. We'll put it on Twitter at Cochran Show in the next few minutes. 928 at 720 WGN.